Hey, Tiffany Stratton here from the WWE SmackDown. Tiffy time can be crazy, y'all, and when I get a break, that means it's Chumba time. Chumba Casino has hundreds of online social games and new titles landing every week. There's always something fresh to try, and the daily boosts make Chumba even more fun. They're little epiphanies that make my day sparkle. Ready for a fun way to switch off and take some time for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now that the school year is officially underway, families are getting a clearer picture of where students are thriving and where they might need a little extra support. It's the perfect time to reinforce what they're learning in class and build confidence along the way. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's unique level and pace. IXL supports classroom learning by providing personalized practice that aligns with what students are already studying. It's proven to improve achievement, with results seen in all 50 states. Plus, one subscription covers everything for all the kids in your home, making it a time-saving and cost-effective choice. It's a resource trusted nationwide, and IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners of this podcast can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
A lot has changed since Bob's Discount Furniture opened its first store 35 years ago. Car phones have become cell phones, grunge band hits have become oldies, and you can order furniture online. But what hasn't changed is the way they do business, aka the Bob's way. Doing things the Bob's way means that when I shop at Bob's, I know I'll find the latest top-rated styles like the Aspen sofa for just $399, bedrooms with storage and charging, Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and more. All at 90s-era prices. There's even no money-down financing and lightning-fast shipping, so you aren't stuck waiting months for your furniture to arrive. Plus, Bob's still makes furniture shopping fun, with friendly associates and cafes full of free treats and ice cream. Want to see for yourself? Stop into your local Bob's store this Labor Day weekend to party it up like it's 1991 and celebrate 35 years of doing things the Bob's way.
What's going on, everybody? It is that time again. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 266. On this Thursday, April 23rd, 2026, Josh Calloway, Colin Kennedy with you on a Thursday. Thursdays, we talk recruiting. We have a number of recruiting updates we want to get into. A trio of 2027 defensive line targets that Colin wants to update the good people on. Some very interesting names and some good stuff to get into there. We'll do that. Some other updates on some 2028 guys as well. And then, the NFL draft is tonight. The next few days, a lot of OU players should have their names called, it would seem, on paper. Colin, I'll discuss that a little bit as well on the back end. Just some of the guys that we're most looking forward to see where they land, who we're most intrigued by, a lot of that good stuff. We'll do a little NFL draft preview on the back end as well. So it's a Football Thursday show. Before we get started, a reminder, you can subscribe to Sooners Illustrated at oklahoma.247sports.com. Promo code SoonersPod60, that's all one word, gets you 60% off VIP membership, Sooners Illustrated, the entire 247 Sports Network. Take advantage of it. Be with us every single day over at Sooners Illustrated. All right, let's get into it. Colin, first off, hello. I'm a little tired. I was doing Thunder stuff last night. It was an 8:30 tip. It was a late night. That's why I'm a little more casual today with the hoodie. I have my Mountain Dew in my Yeti. Got to have the Yeti. This is game changer for my Yetis, by the way. And I'm persevering right now. I'm tired.
Josh Calloway fighting the elements, having covered the Oklahoma City Thunder playoff game last night. Our hero. Yeah. Can I get a report on how it was last night, how it's been so far covering the Thunder games, and what's going on here with J-Dub? What's happening?
Oh, I don't know. It's worrisome. I think the good thing is that Jalen Williams hurt the other hamstring. So I think that's good, because obviously it was his right hamstring that kept him out most of the season, or a big chunk of the season. Last night was his left. I think that's better. So I don't know. I'm resisting the panic button just yet, but it's been good. I mean, first couple games have been good. Last night they went with the Navy shirts, a little different vibe. It was good. It was a late night, and I think the entire state of Oklahoma is like dragging a little bit today, but yeah. It was a good night. Good start to the playoffs. 2-0 lead, and hopefully J-Dub back sooner rather than later. I think that's the general vibe and hope.
On a serious note, you know, Josh does a great job representing the brand on so many different platforms, a grinder. Where can people who watch this watch you cover Thunder games?
Well, I've been dabbling in some TV. Did it last year, too. It's Fox 25 here locally in Oklahoma City. Throw it on before most of the home games, at least road games sometimes, but home game because we're there. We were live yesterday, you know, like the 5 o'clock news and stuff. So if you just can't get enough of me, you can catch me there. But yeah, it's been cool. It's been cool. It's fun to do.
Josh and Colby Daniels, friend of the program, if you will, killing it out there. And then I, on a similar note, what I wanted to say to lead off this show before we get into our topics of the day. Shout out to all of you, anyone watching or listening. The YouTube channel exploded during spring game weekend. I saw our subscriber count skyrocket over a 3-day span. Josh's video he put together with the spring game highlights, which was masterful work as always, getting a glimpse of the spring game out to the masses. I mean, I don't even know, 40,000 people.
Yeah, biggest video in channel history by a lot. So, yeah, pretty cool. Not that the channel's that old, but, you know, we thought it might do well. I mean, considering that people couldn't watch the game. And so glad to be able to provide a little something, you know, for the people that weren't able to be there, which is obviously the vast majority of the fan base. So nice to be able to provide a little something like that. But, yeah, I'm with you. It was a good weekend for sure.
Thanks to everybody who tuned in, supported the YouTube channel, the pods, the instant reaction. A great weekend for our YouTube channel and Josh, of course, leading the way on that front. So if you are a fan of what you saw, want to keep tuning in, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Please.
Like the video. Drop us a comment. You know, we appreciate the support. And that was really cool to see during spring game weekend.
No doubt. Should be another great year for us whenever we get there. And also we'll have content continue to roll in over the summer. And we dabble in the other sports as well. Of course, we'll have more YouTube content on the softball and baseball side as the postseason comes up. So keep an eye out for that. And obviously the summer will be busy, but we don't go anywhere. We're year-round around here. And on that note, we're getting kind of into the, you know, I guess it's fair to say that recruiting really kind of ramps up in the summer. Right? I mean, I think that's a fair estimate. I mean, obviously we've had – It varies from year to year, but obviously sometimes, you know, June, July are the biggest months for Oklahoma in a given year on that side. And so we're going to do some recruiting stuff. And I said, we'll do a little NFL draft on the back end. Got to have a trio of 2027 defensive line targets that I wanted to throw out there to you that you wanted to bring up and kind of update the masses on. Let's start on the edge. I'm going to go for that. I think it's the first time I've ever actually tried to say the name. I'm going to go for it. Uhila Wolfgram.
Pretty good.
I think that's close enough. Guy we've talked about a few times, Utah product. If you haven't seen him, just look at a photo of him and you'll be in. That's all you need. The name alone and then the name photo combo, it'll get you excited. Colin, where are things at with Uhila? He was in town for the spring game, right? And so, I mean, coming out of that, how are things kind of standing for Oklahoma? This is a guy that we've obviously kind of really ramped up talking about the last couple of weeks and felt like one. We talked about the Crew Jones connection. It just kind of felt like one that made sense. How are things going here? Is this one that you think Oklahoma coming out of spring game weekend can, you know, realistically lock down sometime here in the, you know, near future?
I think that the experience, and it's important to preface this by saying that this was Wolfgram's first time in Norman, Oklahoma.
Right.
So for him to get on campus for several days, if I remember correctly, he got in on Thursday night, spent all day Friday in the facility, experienced the game Saturday, spent plenty of time with the staff before leaving on Sunday. I mean, typical visit talk, right? Yeah. Went extremely well, had a great time, all that typical jargon, but – I think the latest here, and our Blair Angulo, national recruiting analyst at 24/7 Sports, had the story straight from Wolf Graham, shared his thoughts. And so if you're looking for that, go check out the site. Blair and Wolf Graham teamed up for that. I think that the next steps here, number one, Oklahoma getting on that official visit schedule for Wolf Graham. It sounds like that's going to get set up here pretty soon. Wolf Graham has like six booked already. Now, could one of them be canceled? Could that be shifted? I'm going to say likely and potentially on either front. But I think Oklahoma, when you look at what Michigan has accomplished, and we talk about that, but the BYUs, the Arizona States, Utahs, so on and so forth, I think Oklahoma did what it needed to match the momentum of several others who had already kind of cemented their place in the race. And now for Oklahoma, it's all about getting that OV booked and maintaining this fight into the summer. I think Wolf Graham is going to have a pretty extended process. I think he understands that he kind of has a ton of leverage moving forward, especially with his stock seemingly rising by the week. And so, especially with like a Michigan and an Oklahoma, those caliber of brands working in there with those OVs with several other programs from out west, I think Oklahoma, again, found a way to make this one interesting in their favor. Now, am I going to sit here and tell you the Sooners lead? Probably not. I still think it's a pretty wide open race. I think a lot of these programs are going to be difficult to overcome, but I think Oklahoma now has the case to be one of them. All that's really left to see is where OU lands in the summer for Wolf Graham and how that slate shakes out. And I think Oklahoma's got a real shot long term if they want to take it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you kind of just answered it there though a little bit. So I take it based on what you said, it's not necessarily just like a Michigan or OU thing. Like there's still enough.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it felt like, you know, maybe that was kind of the way it was going. But in your mind, it's not quite that locked down yet. Like it's still pretty open for this guy at this stage, it sounds like.
Yeah. I think that obviously for those that are not overly familiar, Michigan staff led by Kyle Whittingham.
Sure.
A lot of those guys came over from Utah. Wolf Graham being a state of Utah guy, he has known a lot of them for a little while.
That makes sense. Yeah.
They were recruiting him with the Utes, and then they've brought that relationship over to a place like Michigan, which Michigan is Michigan, right? It's a brand similar to Oklahoma and some of the other biggest in college football. So Michigan is incredibly appealing, and I thought that believe he took two recent visits out there to Ann Arbor, at least one, and I know that went very well. So I thought the Wolverines kind of shot out of the gate. But at the same time, I think that BYU, I don't know that the casual college football fan has grasped how much of a threat BYU is at times on the recruiting trail.
Sure.
They can go out and get big-time guys. They've got resources, and it's a great place to go play football, right? And so I think BYU can make this interesting. I know Arizona State's been involved for a while. You know, North Carolina's kind of thrown their hat in the ring here. I don't know if I buy the Tar Heels yet. One that I should have mentioned as well, and this is a program that we probably need to talk about a little bit more often, is UCLA. I was out Saturday. I covered the Oklahoma spring game, drove back, got up the next morning, went to a 7-on-7 tournament with a couple of other, you know, 24/7 Sports national team guys. And we're talking to a lot of parents and recruits and agents, and a lot of them said the same thing. UCLA, like, watch out for the Bruins. And I know that UCLA is interested in Wolf Graham as well. So I view this pretty open. It was just about like, okay, is Oklahoma going to become one of the horses in the race? Or is it like, all right, that was a cool memory. Maybe that ends up just kind of becoming an afterthought. I think that the Sooners did enough to stick in this one long-term going into the summer.
Definitely a fun name, and sounds like one that we'll probably continue to talk about, you know, here and there over the next however long as he, you know, combs through these visits And yeah, going to be a fun one to keep an eye on moving forward. No doubt about that. Just a fun player and obviously a fun prospect to talk about. Let's stick on the edge, asking about another guy on the outside. Samuel Nelson is another guy that we've talked about, you know, a few times. Obviously, younger brother of current defensive end Matthew Nelson on the roster. Arkansas product. Another guy that we've talked about, you know, the last, I don't know, month or two, as a guy that really seems like a natural fit. Obviously, the brother thing is you know, that you're going to make the obvious connection there whenever you get a situation like that. Where are things here with him? You know, because I've talked about this before with various different guys. We kind of, and I'm certainly, when I say, you know, I include myself, we're almost guilty of like just whenever they have a brother on the team or whatever, like it's a given, like, oh, he'll come. Not always the case. How are things shaking out here from what you understand with Samuel Nelson, Oklahoma, trying to go for the 2-for-2 on the Nelson brothers on the edge?
Yeah, I think this one's really interesting because it's been Oklahoma, it's been the in-state Arkansas Razorbacks, Florida State, a couple mm-hmm. of other programs involved, and the latest that we have gathered is that Florida State kind of no longer seems like an option for Sam Nelson. So this is essentially down to the final two, and Arkansas is the biggest hurdle for Oklahoma to overcome because Nelson grew up a big Arkansas fan.
In-state.
That new staff has been working hard to try to keep him within state lines. So I think that the next few weeks will be very telling because Nelson visited Oklahoma earlier in the spring, came back for the spring game. Sounds like the spring game visit really provided an impact for Oklahoma. And now it's kind of about what happens next. So Arkansas spring game is this weekend. I believe it's on Saturday, and there has been an expectation that Nelson will be in Fayetteville. Does he show up? I think that's what I'm going to be monitoring this weekend, because I think that there has been a natural assumption that Nelson is willing to take his time. But I also think that Oklahoma has invested enough into this recruitment longer than anybody, mind you, to potentially accelerate some things. We'll see. I know that there are some other programs that have been hovering here and potentially looking into bringing Sam Nelson onto campus for the summer during the OV stuff. But I think that Arkansas, technically it's the Razorbacks' turn to take their shot here in the spring. Does Nelson provide them that opportunity? If so, then this is still very much a battle. If not, how does Arkansas counter? Because at that point, Oklahoma is well out in front. I don't think that that's an overstatement. I think that Miguel Chavis and the Oklahoma front office, their collective willingness to recruit Sam Nelson well before he had any other Power 5 or Power 4 or Group of 5 offer. I mean, the Sooners were the second on the offer sheet right after Central Arkansas. Like, that faith placed in Sam Nelson and the recruitment of his older brother, his family, the connections are obviously very strong, but Oklahoma has believed in Sam Nelson, the individual, for longer than anybody, basically. So I think the next few weeks could be pretty pivotal whether or not this race is decided in the spring or even in the summer.
Obvious question comes up all the time when we kind of do this like back to back. Is it they only have the one Crew Jones in 27? Is you imagine that they could conceivably take both Wolf Graham and Nelson? They would go, okay, easy enough.
I think that you're looking at a potential for a 6-person overall defensive line haul. We'll get to more on that in a second. But as it relates to the defensive end edge group, I think that they would like to take three. They only have one in Crew Jones. I think that Nelson and Wolf Graham, whether it's one or both, it could easily work as far as the math.
Interesting. So fun to keep up with, obviously, and we'll continue to update Samuel as he maybe joins his brother at Oklahoma. We'll find out, obviously, in due time, but a key guy to keep an eye on there as well. So we did outside. Let's go ahead and kick inside as you kind of teased there a little bit. After the state of California, with Sione Falela, 2027 defensive tackle prospect, who also we've talked about on the show, I believe, a handful of times. Mm-hmm. He's going to commit on Monday. He's announcing it officially. Also, Oklahoma is a guy that they're in, you know, pretty good standing on. Going into Monday, Colin, what's the vibe here as Oklahoma? They have two D tackles in the book already in 27 with Robertson and Elijah Harmon. Could Falela be the third guy there? How do you feel like this is kind of shaken up as, look, we talked about it, Stacey Ford, like the California, it's been good to Oklahoma, obviously, yeah, here as of late. And it could be good to them again on Monday, going with Sione Falela announcing his commitment. He's doing that on – is he doing it with us?
I believe it's a podcast that's based out west that he's going live with. But it will be
– gotcha.
It'll be live at about 6:30 Central, so 7:30 Eastern. He's out on the West Coast, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I, if I had the platform in front of me, I apologize to whoever's hosting this commitment. I know they'll do a great job, and I know that a lot of people will be holding their breath, right? Because Sione Falela, really talented, kind of a high floor guy at defensive tackle, and when you're the caliber of player that he is at a premium position, it's a big deal that he's deciding to wrap it up here in the spring. Roughly five finalists in the mix, but I don't think it's any secret as we preview this pending decision a few days away. Oklahoma has all the momentum in its favor. Obviously, yeah, if anything of substance changes, I will probably just pass it along to Josh and Tom and they can mention it on the Monday podcast. But we're going to try to break it down as best we can here, because I think that at this time, to be quite honest with you, this feels pretty cut and dry, right? He's not taking it into OV season. He's taken a few spring visits, but if you'll remember correctly, he visited for Future Freaks weekend, and it was during Oklahoma's big junior day that there was a lot of buzz that Sione Falela might commit that weekend when everyone else was, essentially. And I think that Falela came pretty close to making that call. He ended up pacing it and then went out to Oregon shortly thereafterwards. I think Arizona State's been involved here, BYU, a few others. But as time has gone on, it just continued to feel like it was going to be hard to match what Oklahoma had already accomplished, especially considering the context of that spring visit he had taken. And then he visits for the spring game, days away from a decision. I just feel like this one's pretty easy to feel prior to the final call being made. So we'll see, man. You know, I noted it on the board, like, in today's world of recruiting, is anything a guarantee, a done deal? Could anything happen, for lack of a better term? Obviously, you never know what phone call could take place or what move is made behind the scenes that makes things a little bit interesting, especially when we're talking about a defensive tackle. But feels like Oklahoma's got some real shot for some good news at the start of next week.
Yeah, fun guy, fun player. So he, on his announcement, he now it says he's committing on, it's going to be live on Millions at 4 p.m. Pacific time. No, not, I don't mean in a disrespectful way. I'm not sure what that is. I tried to kind of find it. I don't know what that is, but that's what it says. It's live on Millions. So, Colin, you have a few days to locate where Millions is by Monday.
I'll find a way. I mean,
I did a couple of Google searches, like Millions football, Millions recruiting. And I came up it didn't go well. So
we're not far removed from me watching Shannon Sharpe, Chad Ochocinco, and Drew Johnson talk for 3 hours before
a player that's no longer committed.
So I'm sure the Millions Group will do a great job, because I am literally prepared for anything at this point.
Top five there, by the way. I don't know if we actually even said it. Oklahoma, Arizona State, BYU, Kansas, Cal. That's the top five that he is picking from. And so that's Monday evening. Again, we'll remind everyone, Tom and I, on the Monday pod, but obviously Colin and I will get into it further if it goes OU's way, which, you know, we think it we very well could. We'll break that down a little further, likely on the show next Thursday, as they look to make another addition in 2027 with what would be their third defensive tackle. All right, let's do some 2028. Obviously, we talked about 2027. You know, it's kind of winding down. There's still some meat on the bone there, as we just discussed. I mean, it's not a finished product, but the focus is shifting a little to 28. We've talked about that over the last, you know, few weeks. And the number of 2028 guys that were in town for the spring game was long and impressive. We talked about that, you know, on the show last Thursday going into the spring game weekend. Kind of just rapid fire for you, Colin, a little roundup on some 2028 guys that you want to kind of touch on here on a Thursday coming out of, obviously, well, like I said, it was a big spring game weekend for that class as well. There was a number of high profile guys that we talked about a little bit on the show and more that we didn't talk about. So where else on 2028 side of things did you want to hit on?
The story that I put together with 2028 linebacker Jay Shell, I think it's obvious, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I think that story is, if you took my sentences that I had to put in there for the sake of constructing an article, it is roughly 1,000 words from Jay Shell about his visit. So I encourage folks to go read that.
Yeah.
I mean, again, sign up for Sooners Illustrated and a VIP membership. That was great. Putting that together with him, I think Oklahoma killed it. I mean, that was a highly anticipated visit.
Sure.
And without going into a whole big, long rant in the interest of time, the way that Oklahoma approached that, especially with the help of Brian Bosworth, awesome stuff from the Sooners. And Shell, Venables, having known each other since Shell was in elementary school, the quality time spent there between the two, I think, really reiterated the fact that, like, Shell can view Oklahoma as a place he can call home. Mm-hmm. So I think OU is in a great spot with him.
Yeah.
Another personal favorite, I don't think it's any secret, Keone Snipes, defensive lineman from the state of Alabama. Jamison Roberts, high school teammate.
Yeah.
Snipes has held the Oklahoma off for a while, had never been to Norman. I someone close to him told me they didn't land because of all the storms on Friday night until about 2:30 in the morning.
Wow.
And basically just fell asleep, woke right back up in a couple of hours and went straight to breakfast for the visit. And despite the exhaustion, I think that they put it to me this way. They were like, we should have been a lot more tired or drudgy than we were.
Right.
I think that they had a blast. R. Mason Thomas chipped in here helping Oklahoma recruit Keone Snipes, which, shout out to R. Mason Thomas. We'll talk about him in a second, but that's been one of our guys, you know, and cool to kind of see him continue to provide an impact on the program. Snipes spent a ton of time with Todd Bates, with Miguel Chavis, with James Roberts, mm-hmm. with Jake Krell, who we've talked about, like Snipes and Krell are friends. Really productive trip. Again, his first time at Oklahoma. The meeting with Venables towards the end of it all was impressive. It impressed Snipes and his crew. I think Oklahoma nailed that one. I'll shout out quickly Connor Arant from Bixby. We've talked about Connor Arant here on the show yet, but dude, I mean, like a straight up dude, but 6 foot six, 6 foot five, 225 pounder. Oklahoma, Miguel Chavis offered him last fall, and now Jason Witten is going to be the set primary recruiter here. So they're going to recruit Connor Arant as a tight end.
Interesting.
Moving forward, and he's a two-way star for Bixby. If you're not familiar with Bixby out there, maybe you're an Oklahoma fan from out of state. They're a wagon. They kill it. And Arant was a big part of their team last year. Oklahoma did a really good job. Obviously, he visited Notre Dame yesterday as we record this. So already, you know, one of OK Prep's best, starting to work on his recruitment. But he mentioned, he was like, hey, you know, I grew up a Dallas Cowboys fan. I was literally watching Jason Witten on my television on Sundays. It's still a little weird, the fact that he's recruiting me now in a good way. So I think that they did a really good job with a guy that that's a big time 2028 in state, right? So shout out to Connor Arant. Great kid, by the way. Really enjoyed chopping it up with him. A lot of other stuff that I could talk about. Drake Kollner. Midwest guy, close friend of Dane Thurst. He visited, had a good trip, hung out with Dane as well while on campus. I think they got to spend some time after the spring game. I think Oklahoma's maybe the early leader there. A lot to like. And then the last thing I'll say, another story I really enjoyed putting together, Joey Fleming, 2028 offensive lineman out of the state of Alabama, who is originally from the state of Texas. Oklahoma was his second ever offer behind Jacksonville State. So another early bet placed by the OU front office group, and
sure,
paid off, obviously. Oklahoma is already kind of in the early top group for this guy, and I don't think it hurts the fact that he's based in the state of Alabama, and the Sooners have had the level of success that they have had recruiting that state. But he visited not for the spring game, but like the final practice before that, and caught up with him. That story is up on the site as well. OU is like kind of in the early top three for him. I have the full story on that, but Oklahoma killed it with him. Really productive stretch on the recruiting trail for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. I mean, we've talked a lot about how good the 27 class is, and it is. I mean, it's currently still number one with us, and I always say long way to go, obviously still, but they've knocked out of the park. The early stages of 28 feels like it can be also very good. I mean, it's very early, but there are a lot of early buzz and excitement there. And I saw a number of those guys you mentioned, you know, obviously at the spring game on Saturday. I know Kollner saw him there with his family. Snipes was an easy one to spot because he's just a big dude. It was like, oh, that looked like someone of note. And then I realized that's who that was. I mean, it was a good weekend for Oklahoma, obviously. It ended up being a pretty good turnout, like we talked about on Saturday. You and I at the Instant Reaction Show, it was a good weekend for Oklahoma in a lot of ways. So good stuff. 2028 shaping up nicely. 2027, still some meat on the bone there. And obviously, Colin's got the goods basically every day over Sooners Illustrated. So be sure to subscribe with us. It's going to be potentially a pretty fruitful summer, sounds like, for Oklahoma. As we dive further into the summer months, things pick up, visits go on, all that sort of good stuff.
The Sooners Illustrated podcast will be back after this short break.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists.
You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is chat missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
With summer coming to an end, you're going to be spending more time indoors. Get your home ready and save up to 50% off custom window treatments during the Labor Day Mega Sale at Blinds.com. From room darkening to light filtering shades, finding the perfect fit is easy. Get free samples, expert design help, and professional measure and install services. Or DIY with confidence and support every step of the way. Shop up to 50% off site-wide plus huge savings on doorbusters right now during the Labor Day Mega Sale at Blinds.com.
All right, before we get out of here, let's do a little NFL draft. The NFL draft begins tonight. Obviously, same schedule as per usual. Round one tonight, 2 and 3 tomorrow, 4, 5, 6, 7 on Saturday. It's in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania this year. Colin, there's a lot of OU guys who could get drafted. You know, the last couple of years, it's been a little thinner. Part of that's been that they've had really good retention. They've been able to get guys to come back, which has been good. I mean, obviously helped the team last year. But it's made their draft numbers a little lower than, you know, we're used to. Shouldn't be the case this year. Should be a number of guys getting drafted. I'll kind of rattle off some of the names to refresh people of kind of where we're at here. Or Mason Thomas, obviously, is kind of the big one. He could go as soon as tonight. You know, most mocks have him going in the second round, but there are some that have him in the first round. So it could happen tonight. Keep an eye out for that. But obviously, Armis Thomas should be the first guy off the board more than likely. But then after that, you got Grayson Holt and Deion Burks, widely considered day two guys. And then just rolling off some names, Robert Pierce Jennings, Jay Knott, Fabetchi Wiwu, Kendall Daniels, even Jaron Kanick has found his way into a decent number of mocks. These are all guys that could get drafted, could very well get drafted. Some of them almost certainly will get drafted. And then there's kind of a mixed bag of some other guys who probably won't. Probably get an undrafted free agent, though, you would hope, like a Dom Williams or Marvin Jones. Fabetchi. He might get drafted. I'm curious how that goes. Derek Simmons, Keontez Lewis. These are guys who hopefully can land on somewhere. Dominic Williams might get drafted. I don't know. I'm not pretending to be like a draft, you know, insider by any means, but I think there's maybe a chance. But for you, Colin, I mean, just – I know the bug there says how many players, the graphic, but – how many guys, who are you most interested to see? Just kind of what's your mindset going into the draft? I mean, it should be a lot of OU guys getting their names called the next few days. It would, you know, seem on paper.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I you know, obviously I work in the recruiting sphere, in the portal sphere. My realm is football personnel management and evaluation. And so the NFL draft for me is kind of the equivalent of like watching a football game, right? Because this is what we do. And recruiting rankings are projecting towards the NFL draft. So this is always, for me and people who do what I do, like an awesome time. I'm listening to NFL draft content year-round. Got a couple of podcasts that I listen to, hopefully like people listen to us for Oklahoma coverage. And I'm really excited, man. I think to the question how many players get drafted, I think, you know, I will say this. Hopefully people remember I was out there at the East-West Shrine Bowl. I've gone every single year since it's come out to Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, and there were a lot of Oklahoma guys there. I thought Fabetchi Wiwu really helped himself that week. Yeah. I'm curious to see if he gets drafted, and if he gets drafted where? Seventh round, sixth round? Like,
sure.
I had heard he had crushed his interviews that week. I had heard – several scouts were blown away by the Oklahoma players and their ability to navigate the interview process, but also kind of their ability on the board and things like that. So I saw Fabetchi go through some of the process. I think he really did himself some favors. Robert Spears Jennings, we'll see. Yeah. Jaron Kanick, I saw that. I think it was Todd McShay had Jaron Kanick as his guy to be Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, I saw that.
Picking the draft.
I saw that.
So,
which one of our, I was looking at one of our CBS mock drafts guys had Jaron going, might have even been the sixth round. So, I mean, there's a chance. I mean, I'm pulling for Jaron. That'd be pretty cool if he found a way, play tight end for 1 year, and to find a way to land and get drafted. That would be pretty cool. Definitely pulling for him for sure.
And I'll share a little nugget too. I had heard while out of the Shrine Bowl that a lot of NFL teams view Jaron as someone with a lot of special teams upside because of the testing athletic ability. And so there are NFL teams out there I know of that think Jaron Kanick can hold a roster spot as somebody who can provide some value in the third phase and then give you kind of an interesting look on offense. So I think he's got a shot. Dom Williams, you brought him up. He is kind of my big wild card. I feel like no one's talking about him.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the guy played defensive tackle at a high level for several years.
Yeah, it was really good. And
I mean, he plays a premium position that the NFL covets. Like, where is he getting drafted? You know? So
yeah.
R. Mason, I think he's going to end up in the second round. I was talking about this last night.
Yeah.
The injury stuff this final season, I think, kept him out of the first round, which is a bummer. But Deion Burks, Grayson Holton, who kind of exploded.
Yeah, he was great in the Senior Bowl.
And I'm excited to see who gets Kendall Daniels, man. I'm a big Kendall Daniels guy. I think we all are.
Yeah, I'm shocked he's not getting a little more –
yeah,
you know, buzz, just because, I mean, the guy is a freak of nature. I mean, I've been the biggest Kendall Daniels fan. I mean, I'd take him on an NFL team right now. I mean, the guy's huge, and he can fly. He can move. He can play safety, even though he's built like a defensive end. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. He's one of those dudes that's just like, get him on a roster, find a place for him later. Like, figure out how you're going to use him, just take him, and then figure it out later. Because I would think he gets taken somewhere on day three, probably. I would think. But maybe not. Like I said, I'm not a draft expert by any means.
Yeah, excited for it, though. Pulling for these guys. It was a pleasure to cover them for the years that we did. And, yeah, man, I was talking about this with my barber earlier this morning. It's also very weird, too, because you're talking about guys getting drafted that you were covering in high school.
I know.
Recruits.
I know.
So I'll tell you this. When Anthony Hill, the linebacker from Texas, gets drafted, that for me is going to be weird because it feels like yesterday I was watching his freshman tape having been sent in my direction by a Denton Ryan person. I mean, guys had the NFL. So looking forward to it, man. Hopefully the Cowboys do not mess up those two first-round picks. We'll see what movement they make. Godspeed, Jerry Jones. Don't mess it up for us.
The Falcons can't mess it up because they don't have a pick tonight. Unless they trade in. They could trade in. That'd be cool. Not going to happen, but they could. I'm with you. I mean, I it's going to be fun. I'm excited to see how high Arm Racing can get. Halton and Burks are really interesting because it sounds like based off what I've seen, just kind of looking at some mocks, like getting ready for this week, like, okay, where are actually like the week of the draft? Where do they have – where do people have these guys? I mean, some mocks have Grayson and Deion both in the second round. I mean, it's kind of a day two range, but like that'd be sick for both guys if they get in the second round, especially Grayson, because he just, wasn't highly recruited really, undersized or whatever. And just had a great career, was really good in the Senior Bowl. That'd be really cool to cap it off with a getting drafted at all. Obviously, it's a heck of an accomplishment, but especially like day two potentially, that's awesome for him. And then I always, as an Oklahoma guy myself, soft spot for Oklahoma guys, Robert Spears Jennings. Very cool. I remember distinctly, not this past year, but the year before, the OU Texas game, so 2024, that there were some NFL scouts there, and they're there to see a lot of guys. It's OU and Texas playing, right? But I remember chatting with one before the game that mentioned Robert Spears Jennings as like an interesting name that they were kind of looking forward to seeing. That was, obviously he had a whole nother year after that. And so just, cool to see him, an Oklahoma dude, Broken Arrow, up there in Tulsa. Gonna almost certainly get drafted the next few days and get the NFL. That's cool. It's always cool. So, yeah, fun to see these guys. You get to know them covering them in Norman, And, you know, you pull for them. You pull for them to everyone to, you know, realize their dreams, go make a bunch of money. That's what it's all about. Yeah. You know? So it's cool stuff.
Guy,
Tom and I will probably recap it a bit on Monday as well.
The guy that I think the, you know, we talk so much about like guys being a little bit more on the quiet side before the draft. The guy that I think the NFL might like a lot more than maybe the Oklahoma sphere might be anticipating is Deion Burks. I'm
with you. Yeah, he's really well liked. Yeah, quite a bit.
I think a lot of NFL teams really like him. And then just buckle up and prepare yourself for if or when Jay Mott gets drafted.
Yeah,
your phone.
I definitely think there's a chance of that. Remember, Ott was also good in the Senior Bowl. At the very least, he will get an undrafted free. Like he'll get a shot somewhere. The talent is there, obviously. We all, there was never a talent issue. But Burks is an interesting one because we like Deion. Obviously, it wasn't like an odd situation by any means with Deion. He was hurt obviously a lot his first year. But I do think there's going to be a little bit, and it's not even, again, I got to choose my words carefully because I don't think it's like a resentment thing by any means. I just do think that there's a chance in a couple of years that Deion Burks is a pretty solid NFL receiver, and we're going to look back at his 2 years at OU and be like, Why didn't it work out more? You know, he did, you know, because his time at OU was kind of a little underwhelming, right? I mean, relative to the expectation. I mean, when he came in from Purdue, it was like, this guy's going to be so good. And, you know, he was hurt a lot that first year. They get him to come back. It was a huge deal. And he was awesome in the Michigan game. And that was kind of it until the playoff game where he was really good again, you know. But he had a weird run at OU because his flash, his highs were great. But he would go on stretches where you kind of just, you know, it was a little underwhelming at times. So pulling for him, though, it wouldn't shock me at all if he ended up having a pretty good NFL career. I think there's definitely a place for him in the league, his speed. So, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, those injuries that first year were tough. I mean,
the first year, I think he kind of just – that was such a bad year for everyone in the injuries. But, yeah, the last year just, you know, especially with the way he started. Because you remember how good he was in that Michigan game.
Yeah,
and man. It was like, oh, man, he's going to have a heck of a year. And it just kind of, you know, it was what it was.
It was good, not yeah. Like I'm sure some people had that wide receiver one tab.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Satania kind of ended up having the year that we thought Deion would have, basically. But he was good in the playoff game. Almost helped him get back in.
He's a good player, man. He's a really good player. And like
– which we'll remember
I'm
forever.
With you. I think he's going to realize a lot of potential in the NFL.
I do, too. I think he's got a chance to be a pretty good NFL player for sure. And like I said, Tom and I will put a bow on it on Monday. We'll kind of hit on, you know, surprises, guys. We like their landing spot, that sort of thing. We'll do a little bit of that on Monday. I think that's it for now, though. Colin, what do you got on the weekend? Are you home this weekend? It's very rare. Are you home?
Driving to Tulsa.
Okay, that's right. I knew. Yeah, you're never home on the weekend. That's a dumb question. Well, safe travels getting up to T-Town, my neck of the woods, old neck of the woods. Yeah, we'll be back. I'm moving this weekend, so it's going to suck. Still in like the same area, but moving. Everyone hates moving. It's terrible.
But he's a homeowner, folks.
I'm a homeowner. It's unbelievable. It's crazy.
A father and a homeowner.
I know. Oh, I'm an adult. We'll be back on Monday, though. Tom and I'll be back on Monday where we'll like I said, wrap up some draft. Hoops portal is getting crazy. Pop Isaacs yesterday, whoa, out of nowhere. Tom and I will chat about that. A lot to get into there. That's a loaded combo on Monday that we'll do. We'll also recap. Obviously, the week is the Diamond Sports big series for both softball and baseball, top 15 matchups for both teams. So some big games coming up there. We'll do all that on Monday. Colin and I will circle back, obviously, next Thursday, hit some other recruiting stuff and other team stuff and whatever else there is to get into, obviously, on the show next week. But that's it for now. Safe travels up to T-Town, CK. See you next week, my friend. Anything else you want to get off your chest?
I guess let me know if I need to stop and move some boxes.
Yeah, I think we're good. Appreciate it. Hopefully we're good. Maybe I'll regret that, but I think we're good. I think that's it. We'll be back on Monday with Tom. For Colin Kennedy, I'm Josh Calloway. Signing off for now. See you next time right back here, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.